much, Lord, for Lord allowing us to be a part of the work you're doing here on this earth. Lord, you don't need us, but Lord, you love to use us. And Lord, we love to be used by you. We pray, Lord, you would use us more, that you'd fill us and anoint us and baptize us, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit to get out there and to share your good news, the gospel, with a world that's literally out there dying to hear about it. They don't, may not even know it. Most don't. But they're dying without you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be busy about your business. And, Lord, just be in this service tonight. We pray that your heart would be blessed. You would be pleased. When the amen is given at 8:30 or so tonight, Lord, we wouldn't have missed anything that you want us to say. That all of us would be encouraged by those that you've put on the front lines out there in foreign lands. And Lord, we thank you for them. We pray you'd bless them. So be with our service tonight, Lord. We just love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. First of all, I want to ask our missionaries that are over in this area over here, if you guys would all just stand up for me, please. We love these guys. We got to spend a week or so at Murrieta Hot Springs together, and well, actually 3 or 4 days anyway. It was great. We had a great time. But I want to ask if John Adewell from Mali, Africa would come up, Dima Trabilsky from St. Petersburg, Russia, and Christian Kleinlow from Heidelberg, Germany. If you guys would just come up. We're going to give you a little... Yeah. We're going to give you a little snapshot of what we do when we go out on the mission field. And I've got to be with all of these guys, and Pastor Jack even more than me, for a longer time, sharing the gospel in their countries, in Africa and in Germany and in Russia. We just got back from Russia in end of the year. But it was amazing how no matter what language you share the gospel in, people respond. And so I want to give you the gospel in a little nutshell in 3 different languages, like really quick. So John, come on up. John's going to be my translator, and we're in Bamako, Mali right now. So you guys are Malians. You call them Malians? Okay, Malians. You guys are all Malians right now, and then you're going to switch into St. Petersburgians, Russians over there, and then we're going to end up in Germany. So this is the gospel, and this is how we present the gospel to the people in these different countries. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. We're so glad to be here with you.
Nous sommes vraiment contents d'être parmi vous ce soir.
We've come from a long ways away.
Nous sommes venus de trop loin, d'une distance trop loin.
In a country called the United States.
Nous sommes venus dans un pays qui s'appelle États-Unis d'Amérique.
And we've actually come from California.
Nous sommes venus de Californie.
So we've come many miles to share with you some really good news.
Nous sommes venus à peu près beaucoup de kilomètres pour venir partager la parole de Dieu avec vous.
But before I share the good news with you,
avant que je continue la parole de Dieu,
I want to ask you 2 really important questions.
Je vais vous demander 2 très importantes questions.
Now they're thinking questions.
Ils sont des questions qui vont vous donner à réfléchir.
So you need to think.
Vous avez besoin d'être attentif et réfléchissant.
As my pastor back home would say, put on your thinking cap.
Comme mon pasteur à la maison, c'est-à-dire au pays, a l'habitude de me dire, portons notre couronne.
If you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?
Si vous meurez aujourd'hui, est-ce que vous êtes sûr d'aller au paradis?
The Bible says you can know for sure.
La Bible a dit, il faut être très sûr de ça.
Do you know for sure you'd go to heaven?
Est-ce que vous êtes sûr que si vous meurez aujourd'hui, vous serez au ciel?
And if you were to die today and you were to stand before God,
si vous m'aimez, par contre, aujourd'hui, vous serez devant Dieu.
And he would ask you, why should I let you into my heaven?
Il va vous demander pourquoi je vais vous laisser rentrer dans le paradis.
What would you say to him?
Qu'est-ce que vous avez à dire?
What would you say to God?
Qu'est-ce que vous avez à dire?
Why should he let you into heaven?
Pourquoi il doit vous laisser rentrer au ciel?
Think about that question.
Réfléchissez à cette question.
It's very important.
C'est très important.
Okay, now we're going to switch. But no. So, with that question,
Итак, с этим вопросом
you need to answer that.
Тебе нужно ответить.
Because the Bible says,
потому что Библия говорит,
that heaven is a free gift.
Дар Божий — это небеса.
There is no way that you can get into heaven without that free gift.
И невозможно попасть на небеса, не приняв этого дара.
You can be as good as you want.
Ты можешь быть каким угодно, добрым или хорошим.
You can help all the grandmas across the street.
Ты можешь помочь всем бабушкам на улице.
You can give all your money to the poor.
Ты можешь отдать все свои деньги нищим.
You can feed the hungry.
Ты можешь накормить голодного.
Put clothes on all the homeless people.
Одеть всех бездомных в своем городе.
It won't get you into heaven.
Но на небеса ты так и не попадешь.
There's only one way that you can get into heaven.
Потому что есть один путь на небеса.
That's by accepting the free gift that God wants to give you.
Это когда ты примешь тот самый дар, который Бог дает тебе.
In the book of Ephesians,
в книге послания Ефесянам,
it says that for by grace you have been saved.
Написано, что благодатью вы спасены.
Through faith,
через веру.
It's the gift of God.
Это дар Божий.
Not of works.
Не от дел.
So that nobody can boast.
Чтобы никто не хвалился.
God doesn't want you to get into heaven and go, man, look at me.
Бог не хочет, чтобы ты пришел на небеса и говорил.
I got into heaven. I'm a good person.
Я теперь классный человек. Я подобрал.
Hey, wait! He said something funny. God wants you to get into heaven because of what He did for you.
Бог хочет, чтобы ты был на небесах, потому что Он это сделал для тебя.
He gets all the credit.
Он принимает всю славу.
So heaven's free.
Поэтому дар Божий это небеса.
The other thing is that man's a sinner.
Другое дело, что человек он грешный.
Every one of you are sinners.
Каждый из вас согрешили.
And remember, when I'm pointing at you, you sinners.
И помните, когда я вот показываю на вас пальцем грешника.
There's three more fingers pointing back at me.
На меня три пальца смотрят.
Because I'm a sinner too.
Потому что я тоже грешник.
The Bible says that all have sinned.
Потому что в Библии написано, все согрешили.
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Все согрешили и лишены славы Божьей.
That's you. That's me.
Это вы и я.
Everybody.
Все.
Sinners.
Грешники.
And that's the thing that keeps you from going to heaven.
Именно из-за греха ты не можешь попасть на небеса.
Did you know that?
Знал ты об этом?
You cannot get into heaven because of your sin.
Ты не можешь добраться до небес, если ты остаешься грешником.
The other thing is that God.
Другое.
God wants you in heaven.
Бог хочет, чтобы ты был на небесах.
And now we're going to switch. God wants you in heaven.
Gott will dich im Himmel haben.
That's why He made you.
Deshalb hat er dich geschaffen.
He made you.
Er hat dich geschaffen.
To be in heaven with Him.
Dass du mit ihm im Himmel sein kannst.
But just like there's a heaven.
Aber genauso wie es eine Hölle.
There's a hell, and God does not want you in hell.
Da gibt's auch eine Hölle, und Gott will nicht, dass du in die Hölle gehst.
He made hell for Satan.
Er hat die Hölle eigentlich für Satan geschaffen.
And his demons.
Und für seine Dämonen.
He doesn't want you there.
Er will nicht, dass du da bist.
But the sin keeps you from going there.
Aber diese Sünde, die hält dich davon weg, dass du in den Himmel
gehst. And God is a perfect gentleman.
Und Gott ist ein perfekter Gentleman.
He loves you.
Er liebt dich.
So is gentleman the same?
Und yes, just
it's
go
the
on.
Same. It's
go
the
on.
Same.
He does that all the time, right? People go like, what is he doing?
So God wants you in heaven.
Gott will dich im Himmel.
But the sin is what keeps you from going to heaven.
Aber die Sünde ist das, was dich davon abhält, in den Himmel zu kommen.
The Bible says He has to punish your sin.
Und die Bibel sagt, er muss deine Sünde bestrafen.
That's why He sent His Son Jesus Christ.
Deshalb hat er seinen Sohn Jesus Christus gesandt.
To pay the penalty for your sin.
Damit er die Strafe für deine Sünde.
To pay the penalty for my sin.
Die Strafe für meine Sünde.
So how do you accept this free gift?
Also wie nimmst du diese dieses freie Geschenk?
How do you accept what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago?
Wie nimmst du das an, was Jesus vor 2,000 Jahren am Kreuz getan hat?
Nicodemus came to Jesus.
Nicodemus ist zu Jesus gekommen.
And he said, "What must I do to be saved?"
Was soll ich tun, um gerettet zu werden?
Jesus says, "You must be born again."
Und Jesus hat gesagt, du musst von neuem geboren.
That's born from above.
Und das ist von oben geboren sein.
This body's been born of the flesh.
Dieser Körper hier, der ist vom Fleisch geboren.
But the Bible says we must be born of the Spirit.
Aber die Bibel sagt, wir müssen vom Geist geboren werden.
And we do that by faith.
Und das passiert durch Glaube.
It's by faith that you're saved.
Durch Glaube bist du gerettet.
So I want to encourage you.
Also ich will dich ermutigen.
As we shift back to Chino Hills, California.
Wenn wir jetzt hier zurück nach Chino Hills, Kalifornien.
If you've never accepted that free gift.
Wenn du diese Gabe nie angenommen hast.
There may be somebody in here that has never made Jesus their Lord and Savior.
Vielleicht ist jemand hier, der diese Entscheidung noch nie getroffen hat.
Don't leave this place.
Verlass diesen Ort nicht.
Without doing that.
Ohne das zu tun.
Because it's hell without him.
Weil es ist die Hölle ohne ihn.
So after this service.
Also nach diesem Gottesdienst.
There'll be people down here that can share with you how you can accept and you can pray with them.
Even in German.
All right? God bless you.
Okay.
John, you stay up here. Okay, we're going to have John from Mali, Africa. He's going to share with us. Then we're going to have Dima come up. We're going to have Christian Kleinloh from Germany come up. Edmund Cornell went home yesterday, right, Martha? Edmund went home yesterday? So Martha's going to get up and share with us about Herborn, Germany, and then Doug and Carolyn Young about the truckers over here at the truck stop in Ontario, and then we're going to have Bill Stafuri come and share the Jesus film with us. So welcome our dear beloved brother from Mali.
Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be here tonight. My wife is around just to say a word to you.
Good evening, everybody. I bring you greetings from Africa, precisely Mali. The brethren there sent their greetings to you. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Quickly, without taking so much of your time, because the time is not really on our side, I bless God for what the Lord is using every one of you to do to support us back home in Africa. We really, really bless God for such a wonderful time that God has given us the privilege to come over. It's really a wonderful thing to come over and see you beautiful faces and beautiful people of God. I want to share briefly with you concerning what the Lord is using us to do in Africa. If you take a look at the book of Matthew chapter 28 from verses 19 and 20, you will discover, it's a passage we all know too well, the Great Commission. The Bible says, I wouldn't know the translation you have there, but if you take a look at the translation I have with me, it says, therefore go and make disciples. If you take a look at that phrase, it has a lot of connotations. Between go and make disciples, you will write a lot of activities of the evangelist, not the apostles, but the evangelist. Friends, what am I saying in essence? It will take you time to seek God, to know the strategy to use before you can really teach or disciple others. What am I saying in essence? It took us time, but finally God gave us a vision to reach. That is, if we have to disciple the nations called Mali, it gave us a strategy to use. And that is, we call it Operation Educate the Girls. As some of us know, in the Islamic world, they don't have respect for the ladies or the feminine gender. Some are used, some are abused, some are misused. No matter what you use it, God laid in our hearts to reach out to them, to catch them young for the Lord. But such a difficult task. Why? Because in the Islamic world, you cannot just go out as you can go on the streets here. When we started the school, the distance from the center of the capital to where we are, it's about 40 kilometers. I think about 25 or 26 miles, if you call it. We have about 8 villages all around. And these children, they have to trek about 10 kilometers to go to where the next school is. When we came in, it was really a blessing to them. So when we started the walk, it was slow, but we blessed God. When Pastor Jeb and his team came around, we had about 54 kids at start. That was in 2004. But today, by the grace of God, we have about 324 kids in the school. Amen. Friends, what am I saying? In essence, it doesn't just stop there. Thank God for your support. We've gone this far because you, people of God, God have really used you to support us. Right on that side. And what am I trying to say in essence? We don't have water. Some of us, I wouldn't know whether you've seen the picture that we sent over here. If you have to get water, you have to, there's a well, and you have to fetch water from the well so that people can drink. And with this, how can we give water to 324 kids? It's really terrible. Terrible. But who knows who God is preparing? I want to encourage you, if God is laying your heart, please come over and help us there. And you will not lose your reward for doing such. And another thing I want to bring to your notice. We all know that in Africa, there's the degree of poverty is on the high side. I mean to say, in this particular country, in where we are, to pay the tuition fee in our school, which happens to be the cheapest, is just $3. A lot of parents cannot just afford it. Can you imagine? And when this is not paid, when the tuition fee is not paid, we are limited to pay the teachers. I want to encourage you, friends. Come over and see things yourself. Then you'll be able to appreciate what God is doing over there. Not just this alone. We really appreciated your efforts to have built classes for us. We still need more. In September, when the school will open, we don't know where to go. We don't know where to take the class, the children to. Recently, we had 2 classes. I tell you, those classes are filled. In only grade 1, we have 125 kids. How do you explain that? In one class. So we had to split them. So we have 2 classes for grade 1. All just to encourage you. Come over. Help us to build. And you will never lose your reward. Friends, conclusively, we really desire if you can get volunteers to come around. We have started the notion of English language. But if you can come over to come and help us to teach them English as a second language, they will really appreciate it. Friends, I have lots to say, but the time is not on my side. I just want to encourage you. The seed you drop today can take or can bring smiles to a lot of faces. Thank you, and God bless you.
Good evening, everyone. Добрый вечер. It's good enough. Well, since the time is not on my side, I want to introduce you to my wonderful wife, Alina. She's going to sing a beautiful song for you. And really, she's got the main message, and I'm just kind of entertaining you here. I think, how many of you experienced adoption? The Bible says every one of us. So I suppose everyone should lift a hand, okay? We all experienced the wonderful adoption because Heavenly Father predestined us before the foundations of the world through Jesus Christ, His Son, to receive us as His children. That is amazing truth that we all experience. And I have the privilege to tell this truth to abandoned nation of Russia. Many people there, you know, raised under communistic time and they were atheists. They never heard the gospel. It's an amazing nation, because there are about 1/6 of the part of the world. It's spread out, 11-hour time zones. It's a big land, you know. And many people have not heard the gospel at all. So my biggest encouragement for you, Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers on the field. And I am praying to the Father that He would send workers on the field. Russia is a vast country, and they need to hear about Jesus. Here we go. In 2002, we started a little fellowship with 12 people in St. Petersburg. It was the 3rd Calvary Chapel in St. Petersburg. I grew up under a wonderful discipleship of Pastor Jack, and I have a privilege to say I'm adopted twice, okay? And I just had this wonderful bringing through the teachings from this church, and I am so thankful for each one of you who pray for us, and I am thrilled to be here and stand with my wife. Anyway, I'm just carrying out. And my thought was conclusively that we started in 2002, a small fellowship. There were 12 believers down south in St. Petersburg. And the Lord blessed us. You know, we in St. Petersburg, the average church is 35 people. You can imagine, you know, there are 5 million of people living in St. Petersburg, and average church is only 35 people. We started with 12, and now there are over 80 people in our church. So thank the Lord. There are people who are coming, and I'm excited, you know. There is the Israeli flag and the replica of Wailing Wall, and we have a lot of Jewish people coming and worshiping the Lord as their Messiah and Lord. This is such a great privilege. And at the end, I would like to encourage you. Something else I would like to say. There are many believers, and I came up with a really short kind of program. I call it 3D program. You know, this computer age, many of you use 3D programs. First step is devotion to the Lord. Devotion to the Lord means you need to seek to be changed after God's image. It's not just the reading of the Bible. It's really changing unto God's image. That's the true devotion. Through prayer, through reading the Bible, that's what our desire is. We want to be changed to reach out to our country. Two is devotion to the fellowship. I found it's very difficult for Russians to have fellowship like you friends have. Because many people are shy and they're reserved. And it takes ages, hours and months and years to reach out and to bring this sweetness of the fellowship. So I encourage them to have that devotion to the fellowship. Where two more gathered, there is the power of the Holy Spirit. And our nation needs that power more than anything. Russia never had the revival in its history. And we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to start with a small little churches, fellowships, home groups, Bible studies, but it's going to sweep the whole land. That's what we ask the Lord to do. As a gift to Russia, it's never happened before. And thing number two, D number two is discipleship, is to reach out and disciple one another in love. So 3D program, it works. I encourage you to step into it if you're not a part of that program anyways. It can be applied everywhere in the world, 3D program. And the final, how much time I have? One? I have time. All right. Well, 3D program, I shared that with you. It's good. And the final thing I would like to share with you is that what we is seeking, there is a great need. You know, St. Petersburg was the capital of revolution, where all the mindset of people got messed up. You know, all of the atheistic mentality came from St. Petersburg. Well, we pray for revolution on that, in the spiritual level, that St. Petersburg would become sort of like a beginning of movement of the Holy Spirit. And we know one thing. Our God dwells in the worship of the saints. We're putting a great deal of time to pray and worship the Lord. We really spend a lot of time. And our heart, the Lord laid on our heart the desire to start a sort of like a worship center, where we can encourage other churches from Russia to come, have recordings done, and distribute the tapes on Russian language. So if you're interested in supporting something like that, you can talk to us afterwards in the foyer. We'll be right there. And right now I want to allow my wife to sing you a song. I hope we have words. Do we have words out there? Okay, we do have words. And you can read them on this wonderful big screens. And it's a really simple song, but this song, my wife, she wrote it when she had a hard time, and the Lord spoke to her about His love and His faithfulness. And she's going to sing in Russian, but the words are in English. So, track number one, please.
Вышел я, и вокруг тьма, боль и печаль окружили меня. Кажется, нет надежды и сил, и дух мой к тебе зовет и кричит. Боже, я верю, ты со мной рядом. Боже, я верю, ты не оставишь меня. Боже, я верю, ты моя сила. Боже, я верю, и я люблю тебя, люблю тебя, люблю тебя, люблю тебя. Нет, никто никогда не сможет отнять веру в Христа и духа печать, что в сердце моем навеки стоит, и дух мой к тебе зовет и кричит. Боже, я верю, ты со мной рядом. Боже, я верю, ты не оставишь меня. Боже, я верю, ты моя сила. Боже, я верю, и я. Боже, я верю, ты со мной рядом. Боже, я верю, ты не оставишь меня. Боже, я верю, ты моя сила. Боже, я верю, и я люблю тебя. Люблю тебя, люблю тебя, люблю тебя, люблю тебя, люблю тебя, люблю тебя.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate you, all of you. Thank you.
Hello. Such a privilege for me to be here. I couldn't bring my wife because we just came back a week before I came over here. We came back from Malaysia. We had a speaking engagement there to some teenagers. Anyways, just want to share about a ministry that you have been involved in for a long, long time. And that has been a church plant in Heidelberg, Germany. I am actually native German, and so it makes it really easy for me to understand that culture, although it's still hard. It's hard to understand yourself sometimes. Anyways, Germany is a nation. It's hard to minister there. Although it's got such a great history, church history, there's only 2% Bible-believing Christians in Germany. That's it. Nothing else. And people are hard. People are atheistic or worse. They don't believe anything. They're hard to grip. It's hard to talk to them. But the Lord has called us to Heidelberg to plant this plant. And I just want to show you a picture of my wife. And my baby girl, her name is Kim Alisa. I talked to her yesterday on Skype. By the way, skype.com, please download it. By that, you can have contact to us missionaries. You can chat with us. You can talk with us. Or you can even through camera look and watch. So I was talking yesterday to my baby girl, and I could see her going for the computer screen and going, Papa. And I had to cry. Anyways, I miss him very much. My wife's name is Melanie, and she's German. And we moved to Heidelberg 4.5 years ago. Heidelberg is just located south of Frankfurt, and it's actually a very famous city. Martin Luther spoke there and taught at the university back when he was alive. And today we've got about 60,000 students in Heidelberg. 20,000 of those students are foreigners. Now we have our services in English and German, and just in November we started to have Spanish translation every 2 weeks over headsets. So we translate from the front, it's just what you saw here before, and for headsets in Spanish, because we've got just so many nationalities. Last New Year's Eve party, our New Year's Eve parties are very, very famous, so if you want to visit us, please do that around New Year's Eve. We'll find a bed for you. There's always a bed for you. Someone from our church, but we found out that we had 14 nationalities in our church. So it was quite impressive for us and to realize, you know, how the Lord is using Calvary Chapel Heidelberg to reach so many. Anyways, we started off and had a prayer meeting that was 2002, beginning of 2002, and it looked very much like this. I think this is the second or the third. You see the guy just sitting right behind me, his name is Billy Goodman. He got saved right when we started, and he's been there ever since. He's a part of our worship team. He lives over Plain Blues. And the Lord has done tremendous things in his life. And he's, a direct fruit of your prayers. And faithfully stepping out and teaching the Word of God. And seeing the Lord use the Word of God by his Spirit to grow people up. So we started our 3 months, we started our Sunday services in our living room with two guests. That was in June. This was October. So 3 months later, we had already about 15, 20 people coming each Sunday. And about in December, we were so full that we had to move to a different place. Another pastor offers us his chapel with 50 seats. And that was full also after 6 months. Then we moved to another place. And now we finally moved to a place where we hope to stay in for at least the next 7 years. At least our contract says that. The Lord might think different. But you'll see here, we just kind of finished it. You see, we've also are starting to implement the logo of the cross. Let's change it with a dove. Jesus didn't die on a dove. He died on a cross. And that's the message that we have. And now this place. Man, that's the slow guys over there. We now have 160 seats. We have about 120 people coming each Sunday. And we've started to pray about a second service starting Easter. So be praying along with us that the Lord might lead us. I've been challenged in this time here to think big, to think of a big God. And I'm really looking forward to see what the Lord is going to be doing. Our church next one. We have up till now baptized over 30 people in the river that you saw going through the Neckar. Even some teenagers and also some more mature followers of Christ. And I'm so blessed as the pastor there, as the senior pastor, to see how the Lord is bringing more and more of the mature Christians to help to strengthen our church. Our church is mainly students. Average age is 25 to 31. You're getting it. And we have also this guy here was a Catholic. He came to our church and was still attending the Catholic Mass each Saturday night. And then on Sunday he came and he's walking with the Lord now closely. He's married our worship leader and is a strong part of our church. We have also been able to send out, we're privileged to send out missionaries. This was a girl, she was 16 years old at this point, and she went out to minister for a year, and we're hoping to send her out again. Now she's back, but we have sent people to Hungary, a couple to Hungary, who do missions there with gypsy kids. And if you want to know more about that, come to me afterwards. It's great ministries in Hungary and Romania. We do outreaches there. Then, in 2005, do you know some of these? Yeah, we had a team of you guys over. It was the first team. And since that, the last team. I hope it's not going to be the last team. And you can be a part of what the Lord is doing there in Heidelberg. And just reaching the community. We've been, on that outreach, we've been allowed to just witness on the street. It's very easy to talk to people on the streets. And although your president might not be welcomed in Germany, you are. This is true. You are. If you introduce yourself, I'm an American, I'm from California, there with Disney, where Mickey Mouse is home. That's what Jack would do. Now we translate him. You've got a great advantage to reach people. Just to walk up to them. Hey, I'm all the way. I flew 14 hours or 12 to talk to you about this truth that we just heard before. And it's all about, in Germany, it's all about building relationships. It's reaching people on a personal level and bringing them to the point that they might ask the right questions. And, you know, the ministry in Germany really breaks down to this greatest commandment that the Lord has given us. Love God and love people. Germans need love. Germans are hard. They're rock. If you sit on a bench, if someone sits on a bench and you sit next to him, and you say, "Hi, how are you doing?" This German, if you are a German, he will ignore you. If you are an American, he will turn around to you and say, "Okay, let's talk." But they're cold. They're stone cold towards their own people. Love has grown cold. The Lord told us that this would happen. So, it's great ways to reach people and love them by introducing them to American football. We're starting a ministry. We're going to go out every 2 weeks and just play American football on the beach. Just make sure you know how to do this. Maybe we could see the next picture. Guys, count the cost. If you come, count the cost. You might come back like this. But it's hard. It's hard to reach people that are cold, that don't seem very loving. He said he would do this. I'm not yet done, man. There's still one more person.
Say goodbye, Christian.
Guys, one last thing. I've got one more picture. This is really important. If you can't come out, if you feel like, no, I'm not called to go. I'm not called to, you know, do all this stuff. And this guy's a little crazy for me anyways. Please pray. Pray for us. Pray for us. The Lord said that there's a big group of people that has to make sure that those who are called by the Holy Spirit are separated to do that ministry. And that is by financial means, but more and more. And the most needed is prayer. Be praying for us. We've got prayer cards. If you walk right out that door, right there. They're going to be updated every 6 months, right, Jack?
Amen. Jeff?
You told me. Every 6 months, there's going to be new information of what's going on with the missionaries. Please be praying for us so that we might be able to do what the Lord has called us to. Thank you so much. We love you guys.
Hello, guten Abend. Mein Name ist Martha Coronel. And yes, I am Mexican, and yes, I am in Germany. There goes to show you that God has a sense of humor. He sent two crazy Mexicans to Germany. And I'm so glad that Christian was able to describe the German people and not me. Because I thought, how can I describe the German people? Christian's German, he's here, I can't say anything. But praise the Lord, he took care of that for me. But, you know, we're from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. We've been with Chino Hills since it started in the home with just 10 people. And my husband did youth ministry here for about 10 years. And this was the place where I grew up. And I grew up to trust the Lord and was given so many opportunities to serve the Lord. And it was really awesome time here. But God called us out, and he called us out to Germany. And I'm still wondering, Lord, why Germany? I don't understand it. But, you know, our ways are not God's ways. God's ways are higher than the heavens. He has, you know, he wants to exceedingly, abundantly do far more than what we could ever ask or think of. You know, God has so much more for us. And this is what he had for us. We've been in Herborn for about 3.5 years now, and a lot. We've had a couple of youth teams come, and we've been really blessed by them. And we started the church about, like I said, 3.5 years ago. We started with a prayer meeting also, and 35 people showed up on the first prayer meeting. And then we moved into this building that we bought now, and 65 people showed up. And then, you know, we said, okay, I think we need to pray about starting Sunday mornings. And you know what? We did. We started Sunday mornings, and about 100 people showed up. It was just amazing. It was already, people were ready. We just came in, you know, the harvest had already been plowed. We walked into it. The Lord, the people were ready to know Jesus. And the Lord gave me a verse before the church started, and it's in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And that's just it. God prepared the work there. Edmund and I are just vessels, you know. And I just want to encourage you, if God can use two Mexicans to go to Germany, He can use anybody. And like Christian was saying, you know, Germans are very educated and they're very critical people. And Edmund and I are Latin. We're the whole different. We're like mañana, you know, we never finished high school, you know. I mean, and you know, God wants to do the impossible. And you got to always remember that. God is into the impossible. You know, and yes, Germany is a very hard place. It's a very hard place. Christian Kleilo, he described the German people. But you know what? I asked the Lord, Lord, why do you have us there? And he said very clearly, I don't know if any of you know my husband Edmund, but he is a very gracious man. And God has sent us there to teach the German people about God's grace. And I know none of us can understand it, but all we can do is receive it. And that's what God has given to us. My husband would have loved to be here, but tonight we're hosting a prayer week. All of the nation of Germany comes together for 1 week every evening to pray for Germany. And we're hosting it, so he had to go back home. And also, we also are doing a prophecy conference this next week, next Saturday, if you can remember to pray for us. It's called Watchmen on the Wall, and we rent a hall, and about 1,000 people come every day from morning to night. And there's two things that the German people in the area that we live in, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit, and they don't understand prophecy. And that's exactly what God is using us for. We're having a prophecy conference. Thomas Ice will be speaking. Last year, we had David Hawking, and it was amazing. And we were in the front page for about 3 weeks after that because he quoted that Islamic is from Satan. And that came out just in the front page. And we were like, oh my gosh, they're going to blow up our church. You know, we were so scared to go back to church. But you know what? It made such an amazing impact. And I just praise the Lord that my husband is so bold. And we learned it from here. We grew up here. My husband and I learned. He's all about conferences. The Lord also is blessing us. This year, we have been asked to host the European Youth Pastors Conference for the first time in Europe. All of Europe is invited, and we are so privileged. And Joey will be our guest speaker. Joey grew up with us. We've known him since he was 10 years old, a youth pastor here. So we are very privileged to be able to have him come out and share. And we're excited. Every year the Lord is giving us a building. We're in a military base, and I live in an army barrack. And you got to understand, I'm kind of a little bit foofy. And the Lord took me to Germany to strip me from a lot of things, you know, things like that, that are not important. And the most important thing is that he showed me is, Martha, do you want a really foofy place to live, or do you want to further the kingdom of God? And I said, okay, Lord, I will further the kingdom of God. And but this first year we got a building. They wanted $1.3 million for it, and we got them down to $500,000 plus one apartment for free for 1 year when the church first started. And then the year after that we got a building, and they built it. They made dorms where the youth come and stay. We have about 5 outreach teams come a year to do evangelistic outreach, and it fits 50 people. And it's a beautiful place. I know some of the youth have stayed here, and you probably have seen pictures of it. But now when we host the European Pastors Conference, we're going to be able to have a place for people to stay. And then this year, we've been asked where we live. We basically live in an abandoned building. It's 3 stories, the top story we live in, and another the owner. And he wants to give us the building. He's moving to Canada. So, and my husband has a vision for he wants to bring over people that have a heart for Europe to be missionaries, to preach the gospel. And he wants to be able to have them there, live there for 3 months, and be able to go out into Europe and show them what it is to be a missionary. I mean, we're not in Africa. We're not in the jungles. But you know what? It's just as hard because the people in Europe are very hard people. They're very critical people, and they need Jesus. And you know what? I'll tell you, you guys, Jesus is coming back. You know what? God has called us to be pilgrims on this earth, not to be tourists to look around and check things out, you know, but to be pilgrims. You know, pilgrims have a destination. They know where they're going. you know, and know where you're going. You know what? Jesus is coming back. And you know what? What he's going to add, he's not going to ask us, you know, what did you do? He's forgiven us for our sins, people, Christians. You know what he's going to ask us? What did you or did you not do for me? And that we're going to stand in his presence and look into his eyes. And that's going to be our great reward, is that we're going to be able to see him. And that's what gives me the strength. The Lord has given me this verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And because I don't know if you know anything about the Latin people, but I have 4 children and 6 grandchildren. And I tell you, one of the things I suffer over the most is being away from my girls. I have 3 girls and 1 son. You guys probably heard my son last Wednesday. I can't remember when he shared. But he's going to go. He was helping us. He was our worship leader, our youth pastor, and assistant pastor. And he was here for 10 years also helping my husband with the youth ministry. And now he's going to go off and start a church. So we have 1 person branching out from our church. And this year we had the privilege to send missionaries also to Kenya and a family of 4. But God's doing great and mighty things in Germany. He's allowed, I don't know why he's picked us, but he has. And we've said yes to him. And we have had the most amazing, just amazing things happen there in Germany. The Germans, it's really hard for them. Like I said, I want to go back to the power of the Holy Spirit. They think he's from the devil, and they don't believe in this, in the gifts of the Spirit. And a couple of weeks ago, my husband, he's teaching through the book of Luke, and he had to teach on miracles and how God healed. And he asked, if anybody wants to be healed, please come up to the front. And we had a few people come up. And one of the ladies that, you know, she was a little bit not believing, but she said, I have to come. And she came, and she had a tumor in her knee. And my husband prayed over her, and she had an appointment to go to the hospital on Tuesday to get it removed. And when she went into the hospital, it was gone. They couldn't find it anymore. And what's amazing, it's rocking our church. You know, they're seeing that the gifts are for today, that God still wants to heal today, and that the Holy Spirit is the power of the believer. You know, how amazing how the enemy knew what to pick on, you know, because we are nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work. That is the power of the Christian. And I just want to encourage you that if you have a heart for missions, you know, step out. You know, it's costly, you know, but that's missionary work. You know, if you're just the type of a person that likes, I always tell my grandchildren, you guys want to get cozy dozy on the couch and watch a movie, you know? And God can't use people that like to get cozy dozy on the couch, you know? He will only use people that are willing to step out by faith and trust him. But you know what? Some are senders and some are goers, you know? And I just want to thank all of you, because I know that it's because of the power of prayer that God has allowed us to see what we see and how he's moving. He is just amazingly doing great things in our church. And I know it couldn't happen without the power of prayer. And I can feel the prayers in Germany. I'm like, I know Chino Hills is praying for me, you know. I just know it. You can feel it, you know. And I want to thank you, anybody that has said any prayers for us, that has supported us, has, you know, I just have been so blessed by the Mission Fellowship. I feel so watered, you know, because it can be a real lonely place where, you know, you can't just turn on the radio and have K-Wave, you know, it just doesn't happen there. You can't, you know, you're it. You are the one that is ministering to the people. So keep on praying for us, and thank you, and God bless you.
Thousands of road-weary truckers say it's easy for professional drivers to get lost on the roadmap to life.
Truck stops have always been notoriously been magnets for that type of element, prostitution, drugs, sale of stolen goods.
Filled with drugs, drinks, porno, and prostitution, America's truck stops often are called the devil's den. They've even been compared to a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah.
I could have been dead. I could have died.
But today, hundreds of big rigs are putting the brakes on bad behavior. Instead, they're en route to religion. Drivers like Greg Jenkins say for a so-called spiritual pit stop, he turns his steel wheels into Ontario's Transport for Christ ministry. It's 60 miles east of Los Angeles.
It's more of a positive motivator to keep you out of trouble instead of getting into trouble.
An hour before Sunday service, lead chaplain Doug Young pounds the pavement of the parking lots off Interstate 10. He's cruising for Trucker Chapel recruits.
These trucks are their homes, so I wait and see if I see them in the truck sitting there and try to get their attention, because, you know, it's... They may have driven all night, they may have just gotten in here, and they're dead tired, they're in the back sleeping, so you never want to disturb them.
May I have your attention, please? Church services will begin in 15 minutes in the chapel north of the building. Church services will begin in 15
After filling up their tanks, truckers step into the semi-trailer-turned-chapel to nourish their souls. Although they are hundreds, often thousands of miles from home, lone truckers say the chaplain and his wife, Carolyn, welcome them like family.
Father, we've come into this place this morning with a purpose, and that's to worship you.
The hour-long services typically include a sermon, song, and prayer.
And Lord, I pray for these drivers that are in here today. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them, Lord God. I thank you for, Lord, the sacrifice they make. Months, weeks, months, Lord, away from a home, living on the highway, Lord God, delivering the goods that most of the world takes for granted.
On the road again.
It takes toll on you. You pay a price for it.
Ron Butcher's been driving for 15 years. He's on the road again and knows all too well the tolls of the traveling trade. Butcher once was a professional wrestler and admits he could buy almost any illegal drug at truck stops, even his former favorite, steroids.
I used to have a lot of anger. A lot of anger, a lot of hate.
Today, this trucker thanks the Side of the Road Ministries for making the major U-turn of his life. He now heads out on the highway, drug-free, with a Bible on the dashboard, just in case he ever veers off the Christian course again.
At one time, the truckers were instantly knights of the highway, heroes of the highway. And somewhere along the way, we lost that reputation. And it's going to take a long time to get that back.
Many of these drivers have witnessed accidents, jackknives, even death, so truck stop chaplains often shift gears and become grief counselors as well as marriage counselors.
Can destroy marriages.
I think you'll find if you talk to drivers overall, the number one issue in your life is loneliness.
The goal of these ministries is that no trucker around the country is more than 24 hours away from a chapel.
The clothes we wear, the food we eat, even the furniture we sit on, everything is moved by trucks. So we really rely on the trucker for everything.
Too often, these drivers feel cut off from society, sometimes driving for days without any human contact. So these chapels serve as a spiritual rest stop, and the lights of the open road glow day and night.
God is good. All the time, God is good. I want to thank you all. Carolyn and I want to thank you for your prayers, for your support. This church is such a blessing to us. We can't begin. Jesus looked at the lost, and he saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And that's what you saw tonight. Go up there tonight. Walk that lot, and you see a group of men and women, a group of people that are scattered, weary, like sheep without a shepherd. A lot of things we could share. I grabbed some things tonight, correspondences that we've received, and I thought I'd share some of these things with you tonight. One of the things we do when we lead a a driver to the Lord is the discipleship process. So we have a correspondence Bible course that we're able to give these drivers to get them in to the Word of God. We may never see them again. Hopefully they get by another chapel. But we may never personally see them again. So we want to give them as much material as we can before they leave. And one of the things we do is we have a three-part correspondence Bible course that we get them plugged into and get them started. And just some responses from these Bible studies. This is from a driver. I found this a very interesting study, and it helped me realize things I should have been doing as a Christian that I was not doing, and made me reaffirm my love for Jesus. Here's another one. First of all, I would like to thank Christ, Jesus Christ, for blessing me and watching over me as I travel the highways and byways. Thank you all for accepting me and giving me knowledge of Christ. I ask you all to keep me in prayer. Pray for me that I will grow stronger. Here's another one. It says, thank you for giving me the opportunity to learn and understand the Word of God. This brings so much joy to my heart to fully learn the truth about God. And I do believe I have so much faith, and I know that the devil is a liar. Amen. And I praise Jesus more and more. I enjoy doing the Bible study with my son. I look forward to studying more with him in the future. This is a gal that picked up a study and taken it home. Here's another one. I had been feeling the Lord calling me for more, but I don't know what to do. I'm never home enough to be able to speak to a preacher, so I'm just trying to study my Bible and follow the Lord. He will bring me what I need when it's time, when I'm in the Word of God and living it. I can feel His power. I can't even put into words, here's another one. I can't even put into words how much this study has meant to me. It's another blessing from a great ministry, and God bless you for everything that you put into it. Just a few of the comments from that Bible study. Also, some letters and notes we get. Again, I have a file full of these that we've gotten. This is a gal that came in, was having problems with her marriage, a husband and wife team. Doug and Carolyn, just a few lines to thank you both for being there for us. Carolyn, I don't know what I would have done without you, your understanding to help get us back together again. Thank you both for everything. This is a good one. Thank you so much for sending Pastor Jack's tapes. We have enjoyed all of his tapes in the past. We are loving the book of Revelation. My husband is a truck driver, and Pastor Jack has helped him so much. He has listened to the tapes over and over again while he's on the road. And then when he's done listening to them, he brings them home. We thank God for the tape ministry. We appreciate all of you. Dear Doug and Carolyn, thank you for all that you've done in Christ's name. My husband accepted Jesus into his life and as his personal Savior on June 11th of last year, and he hasn't been the same since. Satan's been at his heels wanting him back, but with the help of God, I've been there every step of the way. This has been a battle, but I won't let him go. Thank you so much for all you have done in God's name. It's those little things that change so much. Here's another one. In late January of this year, we met at the chapel out there at the truck stop. I was discouraged and truly depressed. I had lost my father, and I was pondering that question. Will I see him again? You brought the realization of more, a better perspective on how it is and how it will be. You used John 14 as reference and, of course, the map example. You also shared personal triumph of your own. I thank you, by the way. We were in the truck stop. I had a sprained ankle with a cast on. Thank you again. I wish for you Godspeed, and may he always shine his face upon you. I could go on and on and on about responses to that. Just one scripture, and then I want to turn it over to Carolyn, my wife. This is in Psalm chapter 2, and it says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession.
We've been hearing from some wonderful folks from all over the world, but I challenge you, if you really want to meet them without quite the cost of going overseas, come to the truck stop. We're having more and more foreign nationals coming into the truck stop. They're driving for companies who are recruiting overseas because there's not enough American drivers. About 4 weeks ago, Alex came in, and four years ago, Alex immigrated to Canada, and now he's driving a truck. And Alex is from China. Alex came in asking, "Who is Jesus? Can you tell me more about him?" And we were happy to do that. And Alex prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So from China. We had another man from already. He just gave me one second.
Thank you.
Anyways,
God bless you.
Come and see us. We thank you, and we thank you that we have a praying church and praying pastors. God bless you.
Jeff's the hook. Well, let's see. In the beginning, to encourage you, in 1989, I prayed to join my wife in full-time ministry. You see, she was working at Teen Challenge in Riverside as the administrator. And that's where we saw the Lord really working in people that were really throwaways, and he redeemed them. And I had prayed, Lord, please join us together as a team to spend the rest of our life in full-time ministry. Well, it wasn't too long after that I totally forgot that prayer. But so the Lord didn't, and he took me on Mr. Toad's wild ride for the next, all the way up to the last 5 years. And as we came to the close of the 5 years, my wife kept saying, "Do you feel the call?" I said, "No." "Do you feel the call?" I said, "No." And one more time, "Do you feel the call?" I said, "When I feel the call, I'll let you know." And I felt it. And I can tell you that in the old building, we would sit together out where you're sitting now, and God called us to the Jesus Film Project in ministry at Campus Crusade. And we spent 2 years there being equipped and trained. And after 2 years, they decided to close the San Clemente office. And they asked everyone to pray about moving to Orlando, Florida, where Campus Crusade was headquartered. So we prayed, and we didn't see the Lord moving us. We were willing to go. So we said, "Now what?" And we called Pastor Jack and had a meeting with him. And he said, "Well, can you do what you do there, here?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, come over here, and you can be the Calvary Chapel Jesus Film Outreach." Okay. So we came over. And so why do we use the Jesus Film? Well, as you saw in the beginning with the translators, how do you evangelize people who can't understand? Well, one way to do it is with a film on the life of Christ, the most accurate movie on his existence, his miracles, and show it in their own language. And by the end of this year, there'll be close to 1,000 translations. And it makes it easy for us to take it out. And what we do is we usually show something like a VeggieTales to open up for the kids, and then we go into the film, and then we do an altar call. God's been, in spite of us, God's been moving a lot of ways. We had the privilege to travel last year to 4 continents, do outreaches in Guatemala, Guyana, South America, Cape Town, South Africa. We showed the Jesus Film at Ground Zero in New York on 9/11, the fifth anniversary. And from there, we went to Bethesda Naval Hospital in Maryland and prayed for the Marines, the wounded Marines and sailors, which was one of the greatest experiences we ever had. When you sit there and you knock on the door and you say, "Can we pray for you?" And they say, "Yeah, come on in." You go in and you see guys that don't have feet, you know, who are just have parts missing. In Guyana, we were had the privilege of showing the Jesus Film to 100 teenage detainees in a jail. And at the end, God added all 100 of them to the church and some of their staff. In a secular high school in Cape Town, 100 teenagers crammed into a little room. And after the message, they all came forward. In all, 5,000 people we've had the privilege of showing the movie to 5,000 people the last year. And God added 665 of them to the church. We didn't do it. We just showed up, threw a movie up, gave a short message, and then helped to disciple them. We were instrumental in setting up 7 film teams. Our friends from far-reaching ministries called and said, hey, we're going to send some teams to Sudan. Can you come over and show us what we need? And we said, sure. So we went over there. And they are just now shipping their equipment. And check this out. 2 sets of equipment will travel on camelback through the mountains of the Sudan. 2 sets of equipment will travel on horseback in the Sudan. And 1 set of equipment will go on a 4x4. When we were in Cape Town, we were kind of iffy about going. It's a pretty expensive trip. But, you know, in the back of our mind, we knew that there's a chance we could change Africa, change a continent for Jesus, because there were 100 people invited. It was the first Calvary Chapel conference in Cape Town. We got to teach a workshop on film evangelism. And from there, we were invited to the Bible College in Germany, in Siegen. So we're praying about that in April. But before we went to Cape Town, we were very iffy about it. And I got an email from a brother there, and he said, you know, the Lord placed on our hearts film evangelism, but we didn't know what that meant until the pastor said, you guys are coming. And we knew we had to go. So we did. Last year at the mission conference in Murrieta, a brother came up to me, and he said, hey, do you have a Jesus film in Spanish? I said, sure, here you go. And this year he came back, and he said, you won't believe this. I drove to El Salvador, me and a buddy, and we showed the Jesus film. We gave away Bibles, and God added 50 people so far to his local church. 20 years ago, or maybe it was a little bit longer, when he was a little guy, the army came, and they marched his family outside his house, and they shot his mother and his brother. And when he was old enough to leave, he left. And he said, I'm never going back there. But God had other plans, and he did. During the last 2 years, the Jesus Film Outreach has given away over 2,000 Jesus films. We've shipped them all over the world. We could not have done any of this without you, without your prayers and your support. And let me tell you, we, all of us, are very thankful for what you do. You've heard it before. There are 2 ways to get involved in missions. You can go, or you can send. I would encourage you to go and think about, you know, you may sit there and go, man, I don't know what to do. I've never been to Bible college. I've never, I don't know what to do. But can you plug in a projector? Can you read a Bible to someone and have someone translate it? It's not that hard. And God will bless you for doing it. Let me tell you, where we go, you go. We may be there in live action, but you're with us in spirit. And this church, what you've seen over here is the heartbeat of the mission teams that go out full time. And none of us could do it without you. So I want to thank you for what you do. We all have some information. If you want to know more about the Jesus Film Outreach, I have some brochures on the back table. Feel free to contact us. We'd be glad to take you. And you know, we certainly need your prayers. God bless you.
Well, once again, my heroes showed up, the missionaries, and they're amazing out there serving the Lord 24/7. When we're sleeping, when we're waking up, when we're doing our whatever we do, go to school or work, they're out there 24/7 on the mission field. Don't forget to pray for them, you guys. Avail yourself to some books. We have the Drowns book back on the table back there from last week. We still have some left. A couple of Steve Saint books and DVDs of End of the Spear are back there. So you can grab those on your way out if you like to. I think the Drowns signed a whole bunch of them. Steve might have signed a few. But Dima and Alina have a CD back there. Be sure to grab one of those if you like it. I never knew that Alina sung so beautifully. That's amazing. Yeah. But I'm going to do something. I never told them I were going to do that. But you guys stand up, would you? Everybody, all you missionaries. And, like, just come right out here. And I want, yeah. And because we want you guys down that way, go right up the center. Go right up the center, and we'll meet you in the foyer. As the worship team comes out, let's just close in prayer. Father, we just come before you, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for your good hand, Lord, on these folks that we love so much, Lord. How you bless them, Lord, in their lives. And this week, Lord, I know they've been very blessed. Thank you, Lord, for your people who helped make this happen. Lord, you use them to allow these missionaries to be here. And Lord, we pray that this would be a yearly thing. We'd be able to get them out here and just bless them. And Lord, bless those packages that go to them quarterly. Every quarter, as we send out our love, we call them our We Care packages, because we do care and love them so much. And Lord, we just ask right now that your blessing would be upon them, that as they go soon, some leaving tomorrow and some in a few days, they'll be going home through the doors, Lord. We all enter the mission field, whether it's here in Chino, whether it's our neighbors next to us, whether it's the person down the street, our family, our friends, our aunts, our uncles, our nieces, our nephews, our cousins, our in-laws. Lord, we all have those that don't know you. Help us to be those missionaries. Help us to be those that have the feet and the mouths and the hands that would reach out to them, Lord. That's why we're here. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use us. Fill us and baptize us, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you for allowing us to serve you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You guys, make sure you see them back there. Give them your love.